بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Inshallah, tonight we discuss Hazrat Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. Hazrat Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, another very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had some very great qualities in him. And amongst the great qualities he had was that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had selected him specifically from the galaxy of Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in and had given him certain secrets that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not divulge to any other Sahabi. And amongst the secrets that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trusted him with was a list of the munafiqeen of this ummah. He had a list of the hypocrites of this ummah. So Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala an was a very great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his father, he lived in Makkah. His name was Yaman. Actually, his father was from the Banu Abbas tribe. But the father of Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala lived in Makkah. And this is talking before Islam. He had killed some person. And therefore, his life was not safe in Makkah. So he escaped and he went to Medina Sharif. When he went to Medina, he lived amongst the people of Medina, the Aus and the Khazraj tribe, and these people had originally come from Yemen. The Ansar that live in Medina, they were originally from Yemen. But because he became a close friend and they had given him protection and amnesty, so he was linked to the Yemeni people and therefore he was known as Yamani. So this is the father of Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala. He lived in Medina Sharif. He lived under the protection of the Ansar there. And of course, at that time they were not Ansar. They were Aus and Khazraj tribe who had come from Yemen. Islam had not come to Medina as yet. And then when they heard that there is a person who is a Nabi and he is claiming to be a Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is preaching a religion that is Islam, so Hudhayfa's father became very interested and he very secretly comes to Makkah with some of the people who had come from Medina Munawwara, and he accepted Islam on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he went, accepted Islam, and he went back to Medina Munawwara. He lived there. He had married a woman whose name is Rabab bint Ka'ab from Medina. She was from the Banu Abdul Ashhal tribe. And then they had many children. Amongst the children was Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala, as he grows, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still in Makkah. Islam is spreading in Makkah. Many of the Sahaba have embraced Islam. So Hudhayfa radiallahu's father brings Hudhayfa to Makkah and he also embraces Islam in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him a choice. He said, if you wish, you can be living here in Makkah, or you go to Medina. Or in fact, when Rasulullah made the hijrat, then he asked Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala that you wish to be included amongst the muhajirin or the ansar. He said, ya Rasulullah, I wish to be amongst the ansar, those who were your helpers. So he is from the ansar radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the moment he saw Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala, he had seen signs of intelligence in this particular sahabi of his. Very young, very intelligent, very sharp, and he was very, very quick in his wit, quick-witted. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw these signs in the Sahabi, and he saw that he could trust him, and therefore he had given him those special secrets, and amongst which I mentioned was the list of the munafiqeen. Remember, in Medina Munawwara was the Aus tribe, the Khazraj tribe. These were the Ansar of Medina, and with them were the Yahud living in Medina. The Yahud in Medina were the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whilst Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still in Makkah, these Yahud of Medina would instigate the Mushrikeen of Makkah against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they could see very clearly that he was the final Nabi. When they compared his qualities and his features in the Torah, they made out, this is definitely the Nabi. But because he was not from amongst them, they became very, very jealous. So amongst them were the Yahud, and they would instigate some of these people against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's how we have the Munafiqeen. Now the Munafiqeen would sit in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would hear whatever plans Rasulullah was making, and they would go and spread it to the Yahud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exactly the names of each Munafiq. And he had given this list to Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala says that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam questions on khair, meaning Jannat, Akhirat, blessings, Allah's mercy, sawab, the virtues of many actions. He said, whereas I used to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam anishar, on evil, meaning what? The fitnas that will come about till the day of Qiyamah, the trials, the various tribulations, the problems the ummah will be faced with. For example, the coming of Dajjal. So he said, I would question Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on all these type of questions. The signs of Qiyamah. Other Sahaba would ask about other matters. But he said, I used to ask Rasulullah all about these incidents and these conditions and that would take place before Qiyamah. And he says, Rasulullah would give lengthy khutbas. حَفِظَهُ مَنْ حَفِظَ وَنَسِيَهُ مَنْ نَسِيَ. Amongst the Sahaba, there would be those who would memorize and learn after listening attentively to those discourses of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Qiyamu Sa'a, about the advent of Qiyamah and related matters. Some would learn, others would forget. I was amongst those who would pay a lot of attention, and therefore you find majority of the ahadith talking about the fitnas before Qiyamah. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he is the narrator of these ahadith. He says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given him information of every single fitna that was going to take place from his time right till the day of Qiyamah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to go and pester Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, tell me, is my name in that list or not? Imagine Umar radiallahu anhu was so great. He was given glad tidings of Jannat, but this is the fear he had of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I must not be amongst the munafiqeen. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala would not divulge any person's name. Umar radiallahu ta'ala would watch very closely. When any person would pass away, he would question the Sahaba, has Hudhayfa attended the janazah? Is he present there? When he say yes, then he would go himself and lead that salatul janazah. If they say that Hudhayfa deliberately is not present at the janazah, Umar radiallahu ta'ala would make out that perhaps that person is a munafiq, and he himself would refrain from performing the janazah salat. So like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had narrated many ahadith of sa'ah, of qiyamah. And Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala memorized ahadith and narrated ahadith. This is a car, ND6833. I think you're blocking another car. ND6833, can you remove your car? Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him very dearly. He loved Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala. And Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu would love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would be in his company. But for some reason or other, there was a time or a couple of days went by and Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala was not present in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his mother happened to ask him, Hudhayfa, when last did you go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, oh my mother, it was a certain day. In other words, it was some time that already elapsed. She became very upset with him, very angry. They'll go immediately now and go meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask him to ask Allah for forgiveness on my behalf, on your behalf. So he goes, it is Maghrib time, Huzaifah radiallahu ta'ala performs salat with Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is busy after Maghrib, right till Isha. After Isha he finds some time, he sees Rasulullah waking up, so he follows him. And as they are walking, suddenly he sees some type of obstacle, some type of shadow coming from above. And he could hear some sounds. He heard a voice. So he waited. After that voice terminated, Rasulullah asked, who is it? He said, it's Hudhaifa. He said, Hudhaifa, what do you want? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I had been absent for a few days. My mother became very angry, upset, and she said, I must come and ask you that you must ask Allah to forgive me and forgive her. Immediately Rasulullah made dua, may, oh Allah, forgive Hudhaifa and forgive his mother. Then he says, oh Hudhaifa, did you see something very strange happening now, some person or some type of shadow that came, an obstacle? Did you hear some voice? He said, yes, I heard. I don't know what it was. He says, that was an angel who came down from the heavens, who did not come down on the earth before. This was the first time this angel came down, and he greeted me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he greeted me, and wabasharani, and he gave me glad tidings of my two grandsons, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, that they are Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah, they are the leaders of the youth of Jannah. And he gave me glad tidings that Anna Fatimata, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah, that my daughter Fatima will be the queen of the leader of the woman of Jannah. So this was a glad tidings. An angel came down specifically to mention this glad tidings to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hudhaifa radiallahu ta'ala, his sincerity was unique. Whenever he did any action, he would try and do it in solitude, secretly, without any person coming to know. In other words, he stayed away from riya, ostentation and show. Once he is performing salat, and he had performed lengthy rakats of nafil, and he did not know somebody was watching him from behind. فَإِذَا فَرَغَ مِن صَلَاتِهِ, when he terminated his salat and he turned around, he sees a certain sahabi sitting there, or a tabi'in sitting there. So he sees his tabi'i sitting there and he calls him. He says, listen to me, don't mention whatever you saw to any other person. So he takes a promise from this person that he will not divulge what he had seen to any other person. This was the khawf, the khashiyyah they had of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any action they did, any good action, they would make sure they had ikhlas, sincerity. Battle of Badr, we know it was a very great battle that took place, the greatest of battles in Islam. And I mentioned so many times previously, we have heard from many other ulama, that the Battle of Badr was that battle that even the angels used to boast among themselves with those who had participated in Badr. Their rank was higher than the other angels. Likewise, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majmain, those who participated in the Battle of Badr, their rank was greater than the other Sahaba. But Hudhaifa and his father were not present at Badr. Of course, Badr was not compulsory in all the Sahaba. The Battle of Badr was originally Sahaba were going to attack that caravan of Abu Sufyan that was coming back from Syria. But it so happened that Allah wished a battle must take place. So it was not a compulsory battle. Those who were ready got ready and they just joined Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Hudhaifa radiallahu ta'ala and his father were amongst those who got ready and they had come out also to join Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they were caught by some Yahud. And this Yahud asked, where are you going? He said, no, we're going for some work. He said, no, you are going to join Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they held them back until the Battle of Badr was over, then they sent them. Or, in one narration it is mentioned, they took a pledge from them that they would not join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they come to Medina, Ya Rasul, we wanted to come with you, we are ready to come out with you. But what must we do now? These people have taken an allegiance from us. We have taken a promise that we will not join you. Nabiya Kareem says, fulfill this promise. Nafi bil'ahd. We will fulfill this promise. And وَنَسْتَعِينُ بِاللَّهِ we'll seek Allah's assistance عَلَيْهِمْ against them. In other words, you will not be able to participate in this journey with us. But when it came to Uhud, both of them fought very bravely. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala was safe. He was not wounded, not injured. His father was fighting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in against the enemy. And he fought very bravely. But because their faces were covered in the battle, one Sahabi mistook him to be an enemy. So he takes his bow and arrow and about to shoot. Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala happens to see this. So from a distance he's shouting, Abi, Abi, this is my father, my father. This Sahabi did not hear. He shoots the arrow and Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala's father is killed. He runs to his father, finds that his father has become shaheed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala is very, very sad. He has lost his father. And this is a mistake that took place. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that we will pay the blood money, the diyat. When you kill somebody, then you have to give diyat. And this was done mistakenly. So it's called qatla khata in fiqh. Nevertheless, you have to give some blood money. So he takes the blood money collected from Sahaba, give it to Hudhayfa. Hudhayfa refuses. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I made dua, Allah must forgive these people. They made a mistake. Whatever money has been collected must be given as sadaqah to the Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard this from Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala, he became even more happy with Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala. Then came the battle of Khandaq. The battle of Khandaq was a very long, lengthy battle that took place. We know the Sahaba had come out of Medina. Salman Farsi had given his opinion, which Rasulullah had accepted. He said we should build trenches so that the enemy do not come into Medina, otherwise they will attack us. And by building trenches, they will not be able to come so easily across. So for a few days, they dig those trenches, and that is the time when Rasulullah is digging with Sahaba. And when Sahabi comes, Ya Rasul, see, I've got a stone tied to my belly. We are so hungry. Few days have gone, we haven't even eaten. Then Nabiya Kareem Sam lifts his shirt or his kurta up, and the Sahabi sees that Nabiya Kareem Sam has two stones tied to his stomach. And that is when Rasul had made special dua, Allahumma ghfir lil ansar wal muhajira. Oh Allah, forgive the ansar, forgive the muhajirin. While this battle is taking place, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs information regarding the enemy. He needs some sahabi to stand up and spy on his behalf and check what the enemy are up to. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala mentioned this entire story. When one person after the sahaba amongst the tabi'in, he comes and he asks Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala, they tell us, how was it with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No, they said, maybe we should make a lot of sacrifices with him. We loved him so dearly. So this tabi'in says, you know, if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, and we were alive in his era, in his time, we would have carried him on our shoulders. We wouldn't have even let our Nabi walk on the earth. We would have showed so much of concern, so much of care for him. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, my brother, let me just tell you just one story only. I'll just tell you the episode of Khandaq, and then from then you realize what Sahaba, what sacrifices they had to undergo. And he relates his own information, not out of show. But to show this tabi'een, it's very easy to say, we past might feel, if we were in the time of Rasulullah, we would have done that for him, we would have done this for him. Sahaba gave their lives, sacrificed their lives for him. Nevertheless, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says it was absolutely cold. The winter of Medina we have never experienced. Biting cold. Sahaba have got no food. They are starving. He says there is jur, there is hunger, there is bard, absolutely cold. And there's khawf also. They're worried. The enemy might attack. They've got wives and children. So there was fear also. He says, Rasulullah comes, the Sahaba are seated, it's absolutely cold, each one is covered with whatever shawl, whatever garments they had. He says, I require some person to go and check on the enemy, what they are doing. He's walking past the Sahaba. As Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, Nabi Kareem stood, stopped by me. He said, I began to crouch more and press myself more onto the earth, onto the ground, lest he calls out my name. He says, I was so hungry. I couldn't even stand up. Absolutely cold. The only thing to cover my body, that too, just from my chest, my legs, just below my knees, was a shawl that I had borrowed from my wife. He says, suddenly, Nabi Kareem said, Hudhayfa. He says, Naam ya Rasulullah. He says, stand up. He says, I want you to go and see. Something is going to take place there. And that information is vital. And you go across, and you get that information and come back, and don't do anything on your own accord until you come back to me. Now he said, I'm thinking to myself, I'm absolutely hungry. I've got no clothing to cover my entire body. How am I going to go across? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes a dua for him. Allahumma ahfadhu min bayni yadayhi wa min khalfihi wa an yaminihi wa an shimalihi wa min fawqihi wa min tahtihi. Oh my Allah, protect Hudhayfa from in front, from before him, behind him, right hand side, left hand side, above him, beneath him. He says, Wallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had hardly finished his dua, and suddenly there was no fear whatsoever. It disappeared from my heart. Suddenly I could feel some warmth, no more hunger, no more feeling cold. He says, I covered myself completely, my face, sneaked into the camps of the enemy. And he says, Abu Sufyan, the leader at that time of the enemy, had assembled the Quraysh, or the people who were fighting with them. And he says, at that moment, the episode of Khandaq, if you really, I'm just mentioning just one or two points, really if you discuss the whole Khandaq, to explain what type of scene that took place, and the hurricane that took place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a violent wind, a tornado, that uprooted the tents of the disbelievers. They had camped there, they had put their pots, everything was fell off, and the lids fell off the pots. Whatever contents they had, food, everything fell off the pots. And there was, the animals also were destroyed. They were gripped with fear. Abu Sufyan assembled all of them. And he said, I need to tell you something very important. Now before I mention anything, I want each one to look at who is sitting next to him and check whether he's a spy or not. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu thought to himself, I'm finished now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said he was very quick-witted, very sharp. So he says, before this enemy could ask me, I grabbed his hand and I had my face covered. Hey bhai, who are you? Are you a spy or not? So that person said, no, I'm Fulan ibn Fulan. I'm certain person, son of certain person. Okay, then it's alright. So he gave him no chance to ask who he is. Like that he said, Abu Sufyan said, we can see the conditions. I am standing up now and I'm about to leave, depart. All of you must also leave now. We have got no chance with the Muslims. They're going to devour us. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, Abu Sufyan mounts his animal. And he says, I am right there. I've got every chance to now kill him. And what an honor it will be to kill Abu Sufyan. He says, but Rasulullah told me, Hudhayfa, don't do anything till you come back. So he said, I spared his life. I come back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salat, and he had a shawl. Of course, now this shawl is not like a shawl that only women wear. It was a shawl that even the woman used to wear like a blanket. Rasulullah had borrowed one of the shawls of his wives, and he was busy performing salat. When he finished, he saw Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala an, and he became, asked Hudhayfa, what happened? Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu gave the entire incident. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very, very pleased with Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala an. Like this, there were so many other incidents in the life of Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala an. The sacrifices he made with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his piety, his taqwa. Before he passed away, they say he passed away exactly 40 days after Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala was assassinated after he became shaheed. So he passed away in the time of Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala. The night before he passed away, Hudhayfa radiyallahu ta'ala already got signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is leaving this world. But he would make beautiful du'as to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful du'as. Oh Allah, you know I love poverty more than richness. Oh Allah, you know I love to be love humility more than having name and fame. Du'as like this, he would address Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he would tell the people, I seek Allah's protection from such a night whose morning, in whose morning there is evil. In other words, I seek protection from Allah that I must pass away in such a condition that I die and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is naraz with me. I want Allah ta'ala to be pleased with me. So they would make these type of du'as that Allah ta'ala forgives them and Allah ta'ala must give them high stages in the akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to emulate these sahaba ikiram. They had that opportunity to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they imbued in their lives the teachings and advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore they were shining stars. If you read more and more on each sahabi's biography, wallah, as I mentioned last week, person's iman becomes kindled. The love for sunnah comes into his life. The love for Rasulullah comes into his life. The love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes into a person's life. And these are our ancestors, our salafi saliheen. These are our pious elders whose life we also try to emulate. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. It won't be very long, it's already after Isha. We were busy with our tafsir of Surah Maryam. And last week we mentioned about Maryam alayhi salatu salam, how she gives birth to Isa alayhi salatu salam, the miraculous birth, the haya she had, the modesty she had, and how Allah made the intizam for her, that she had no food and nothing to eat, but Allah provided date trees for her, fresh dates that fell rutab, and Allah provided water for her river. And when she went back, and how Isa alayhi salatu salam spoke while she was still a little baby, Allah gave him the power of speech, and he said, I am the servant of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions ذَلِكَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمْ قَوْلَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ. That was Isa, the son of Maryam. In other words, he had no father. He was the son of Maryam alayhi salatu salam. And that is the statement of truth haq regarding which the people were disputing. Some said that no, he was a product of an illegitimate relationship, ma'adallah. Some said he is the son of Allah, etc. And we explained that last week. مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ أَن يَتَّخِذَ مِن وَلَد. It is not appropriate for Allah to have a child. Allah is free from that. Allah has got no wife. Allah has got no children. Allah has got no father. Allah has got no mother. So similarly, it is not befitting for Allah. Allah does not need to take a child. Subhana. Allah is spark. Allah is free from any type of defects, shortcomings, deficiencies, and needs and wants what human being has. إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. When Allah decides on any matter, he wanted Isa alayhi salatu wasalam to be born, kun, be, fayakun. And he became. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anything he wishes, he does not even have to say kun. That's why say, the amr of Allah is bayn al-kaf wa noon. The word kun comprises of two letters, kaf and noon. To show that even Allah does not even have to say kun, whatever he desires, immediately he comes into existence. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam and he blew into Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was, or she fell pregnant and Isa alayhi salam was born. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa inna allaha rabbi wa rabbukum, wa inna allaha rabbi wa rabbukum fa'budu, hadha siratun mustaqim. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is my Rabb, he is your Rabb. Fa'budu, worship only him. We don't worship Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. We mentioned last week, we believe in Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He is a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah raised him. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. Neither did they kill him, nor did they crucify him, But the Muslims took him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him away. And the person who had accused Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, it's a long story. He was standing outside the room. Allah put him in the place of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. When they came to take Isa alayhi salam to kill him, it was this other person. And he said, it's not me. I am not Isa. They did not believe him. Allah gave him the form of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And there's many other tafsir that are mentioned. But Allah ta'ala raised Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He will come back into this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But when he will come back, he will not come as a Nabi now. His nubuwwat has completed. He'll come back as an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He will come back in the eastern minaret of a masjid in Palestine. Two angels will come down with him. He will support his hands on these two angels. Absolutely handsome. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, his head will be lowered. It will seem as though water is coming down his hair, like pearls. Or it will seem like pearls are coming down from his hair. He would make wudu, so it will seem like pearls are coming down from his hair. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, as far as his eyes will see, that will be his breath, and that will be the means of killing Dajjal. No person will be able to kill Dajjal. It will be Isa alayhi salatu wasalam who will kill Dajjal. Inshallah, on some other occasion, we'll mention the signs of Qiyamah and Dajjal's appearance and how Islam will kill him. هذا صراط مستقيم. This is the straight path. فاختلف الأحزاب من بينهم. There were two groups or many groups amongst the mushrikeen that disputed, or amongst the people that disputed about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. فَوَيْلُ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِن مَشْهَدِ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. Allah tells his destruction be to the disbelievers at the time when they shall see a mighty day. On the day of Qiyamah, they will see the truth. أَسْمِعْ بِهِمْ وَأَبْصِرْ. On that day, they will be able to hear very well. They will be able to see very well. يَوْمَ يَأْتُونَنَا. On that day when they will come to us. لَكِنِ الظَّالِمُونَ الْيَوْمَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. But today in this world, the oppressors, those who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who reject Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are in an open error, a manifest error. On the day of Qiyamah, everything will be clear in front of them. They will not be able to dispute. They will not be able to deny anything. Here they pretend they cannot hear. They cannot see the truth. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah says, أَسْمِعْ بِهِمْ وَأَبْصِرْ. Meaning that they will hear very well. They will see very well. وَأَنذِرْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah that warn these mushrikeen. Warn them of يَوْمَ الْحَسْرَةِ. The day of regret. And that is the day of Qiyamah. إِذْ قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ. When the matter will be decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What matter? فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. One group to go into Jannat, one group to Jahannam. The matter will be decided. And Allah will not change his decision. Now when this happens, the people in Jannat will go to Jannat. Obviously they'll be rejoicing. People in Jahannam will go to Jahannam. But they'll have some hope. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. Or perhaps they will not be there forever and ever. It might be a short period in which they will get some punishment. And then they will die. They will feel perhaps they will die. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring death. Allah will bring death in a form of a ram. This is mentioned in authentic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So death will appear in the form of a ram. And Allah will tell an angel, now you slaughter this ram. In other words, death is now being slaughtered. There will no more be death. When the people of Jannah sees that there will be no more death, and death is now being slaughtered, they will become even more happy and excited. Why? Now we will live in Jannah khalidina fiha abada, perpetually. When the people of Jahannam will see this, they see now no more death. So now we're going to be in pain, in torment perpetually. وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكْ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكْ. They will shout out to the angel, to the warden of Jahannam, please tell you Allah, لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكْ. Tell you Allah to give us more, give us more. We can't take this pus that we have to drink, this boiling water that we have to drink, this bitter thorny tree of zakum. Allah will say, قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. Ah, you will remain there forever and ever. May Allah Ta'ala save us. So it's a day of hasrat, regret. People will regret, why did they not change and reform their lives in this world before more came to them? Disbelievers will say, if only we brought iman. Too late. What happened to Fir'aun? Fir'aun claimed to be Ilah. He had pride. He had arrogance. He was haughty. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam preached the oneness of Allah ta'ala to him. But the moment he was drowning, and he saw the reality, that he is not Allah, he is nothing. He is drowning, he is absolutely helpless. He realizes he is a mighty, powerful Allah. So what do you say? Amantu bi Rabbi Harun wa Musa. I bring iman in the Rabb of Harun and Musa. Allah says, al-an, now, waqad asaita, when you already rejected, you were disobedient, too late. When a person is passing away, and he says, Malakul Maut, now he makes tawbah istighfar, not accepted by Allah. Now he brings iman, not accepted by Allah. When the sun will rise from the west, from among the signs of Qiyamah, when the sun will rise from the west, then no person's tawbah will be accepted, no person's iman will be accepted, because now the examination is over. Teacher has said, put all your pens down, has collected the scripts, the examination papers, it's gone. Now you say, please, the last question I need to answer. Too late. The game is over. Now there will be regret. When the results are out, person will scratch his head. Only I studied, only I did this, only I did that. Allah will say, did not my Rasul come to you? Were you not taught Quran and Hadith? Did you not have this, not have that? We'll have no answer. So it's a day of regret. May Allah Ta'ala save us from the regret. Allah says, وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. In this world, they lived a life of ghaflat. We always talk about ghaflat, ghaflat, ghaflat. When a person is completely heedless, ghafil, he does not care about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He becomes oblivious of everything of deen. So it doesn't bother him. وَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says, they did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِيثُ الْأَرْضِ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. You know, we say when we inherit, what that means? Somebody passed away. Now, we will inherit his money. We will get all his properties. Allah says, we are the ones who inherit this earth and whoever is on the earth. In other words, everything belongs to us. People will die. Allah never dies. Allah is Hay, Allah is Baqi, Allah is eternal, Allah is everlasting, Allah never experiences mort, Allah never experiences sleep. Allah is apart from all these things. Allah has created us, we are going to die, we are going to leave this world, this temporary world. In one hadith it is mentioned, in fact an ayat of the Quran, يَوْمَ نَطْوِي السَّمَاءَ كَطِيِّ سِجِرِ الْكُتُبِ. And one hadith says in Mishkat Sharif, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wrap up the skies in His hand. And He wrap up the earth in His hand. Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if Allah is going to wrap up the earth, then where are we going to stand? So He said, وَهُمْ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ. Everybody will be by pull sirat. Allah will put another type of land, and that is the land of Qiyamah. That is separate. But the land that we are now walking on, everything will be in Allah Ta'ala's hand. And Allah will address the people of the world. Allah says, Anal Malik, I am the supreme and sole ruler, possessor, king. One hadith, Aina Mulukul Ard, we are all the other kings of the world. King of this country, that country, that country. One hadith, Aina Jabbarun, أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ. We are all those tyrant people. We are all of them. We are all the despots of this world. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. Ayat of Quran. To who does everything belong today? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. The one Allah who is all powerful. So Allah says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِثُ الْأَرْضِ. We shall inherit the earth. وَمَنْ عَلِيهَا. Whoever is upon the earth. وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. And everything will be returning to us. Everything returns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, next week we'll discuss Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. We just have just 5 minutes, inshallah. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's incident is very short, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Wadhkur fil kitab Ibrahim, innahu kana siddiqan nabiyya. He was a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but a special quality also mentioned, Siddiq. Siddiq means a person who speaks the truth all the time. Every Nabi spoke the truth. No Nabi spoke any lie. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly speaks about Siddiq al-Nabiyya to show this quality of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was a true prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he always spoke the truth. In other words, a Siddiq is that person whose outward is just like his inward. His zahir is like his batin. His batin is like his zahir. He practices what he preaches. May Allah ta'ala give him that quality. And there are many other explanations of Siddiq. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ لِمَ تَعْبُدُ مَا لَا يَسْمَعُ وَلَا يُبْصِرُ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ شَيْئًا. His father, Azar, and many others of his people were worshipping idols. He says, oh my beloved father. The word أَبَتِ in Arabic. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ. Oh my beloved father. Not يَا أَبِي. يَا أَبَتِ. Oh my beloved father. With respect, with kindness, politeness. Why are you worshipping things that cannot hear? They cannot see, they cannot avail you, they cannot help you, they cannot ward off any problem that you have. If a fly has to sit on these things, it cannot even move the fly away. They cannot eat, they cannot drink, they cannot see. Why are you worshipping these idols? Ya abati inni qad ja'ani min al-ilm. I have got certain knowledge that has come to me. Ma lam ya'tika, and this knowledge of nubuwwat hasn't come to you. Fattabi'ni. Follow me, my father. Listen to my advice. Ahdika, I will guide you. Siratan sawiya, the straight path. Ya abati la ta'budi shaitan. Do not worship shaitan. Mufassirin explained that shaitan had prompted those people to worship idols. So by worshipping idols, they were like worshipping the instruction of shaitan. In other words, they're worshipping shaitan. In today's time, in this era that we're living in our own surroundings, Allah forgive us, there are even Muslim children who are actually worshipping shaitan, Satanism. There's a cult that is here amidst us. Allah protect our children, Allah protect us. They actually go down and sajda into and bow down to shaitan. Allah protect us. So ya abati la ta'budu shaitan. Inna shaitana kana lirrahmani asiya. He said, oh my father, you know shaitan, he was disobedient to Allah. Allah told him to worship, to bow down to Adam, he refused. So shaitan is a person who was disobedient to Allah. By following him, you also would become disobedient to Allah. Ya abati inni akhafu an yamassaka adhabu min ar-Rahman. Fatakuna li shaitani waliya. Oh my father, listen to me. I fear if you do not follow me, an azab will come and afflict you. And when this azab will come, فَتَكُونَ لِشَيْطَانِ وَلِيَّ, you will not be able to defend yourself. You will in fact become a friend of shaitan. Because shaitan himself will be, he is rejected. He'll be punished. You'll also be punished. You'll be in the same group and jamaat of shaitan. You'll be in his party. What does the father say? قَالَ أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. You are renouncing our idols, O Ibrahim. لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ. If you do not stop, if you do not stop, لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ, I will pelt you with stones. Father became very upset with him. وَأَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. He says, leave me, abandon me for some time, for a long period of time. Get away from here. I don't want to see you anymore. قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. لَا تَعَتَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. When makhluq commands you to disobey Allah, you don't follow makhluq. When any creation tells you that do some haram, then you don't obey the creation of Allah when Allah is going to become disobeyed. So he said, Salamun alayk, in a nice way. He said, peace be upon you. He said, my father, he said, Sa'astaghfiru laka rabbi. I will ask my Allah to forgive you. Innahu kana bi hafiyya. My Allah is very gracious to me. Wa a'tazilukum. I will stay away from you. وَمَا تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. And whatever you are calling beside Allah, whatever you are worshipping beside Allah, I'm not going to follow. I'm breaking myself aloof from all these things. وَأَذْعُوا رَبِّي. I will call to my Allah. أَسَىٰ أَلَّا أَكُونَ بِدُعَاءِ رَبِّي شَقِيًّا. My Allah, my sustainer, he will never let me down. When I will be making his ibadat, he will support me, he will assist me, he will care for me, he will look after me. Allah says, فَلَمَّا اعْتَزَلَهُمْ. The moment Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam withdrew himself from his people, وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, and from these idols, وَهَبْنَا لَهُ إِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. Of course he got married, and then Allah Ta'ala blessed him with a son, Ishaq alayhi salatu salam, and from Ishaq we got Yaqub alayhi salatu salam, from Yaqub alayhi salatu salam, Yusuf alayhi salatu salam and his brothers, and from them the Bani Israel, and from them so many other Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. And of course, Ismail alayhi salatu salam also, وَكُلْ in the ayat it is mentioned, وَكُلَّنْ جَعَلْنَا نَبِيًّا. Allah says, each one of these people, we made them a Nabi. Okay, Ibrahim, you did not get you the company of your father and your mother and your family. You withdrew yourself from them for my sake, but I will replace you with such a progeny, one after the other, each one becoming a Nabi of Allah. وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِنَا. Allah says, we gave them our special mercy. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا. And we made them very prominent in the world. We gave them a lofty position. صِدْقٍ عَلِيًّا. Allah says, لِسَانَ صِدْق. Allah gave them a very lofty position. A lofty word of truth. In other words, they were respected, they were honored by the people. Allah Ta'ala made them Anbiya alayhi salatu salam. May Allah subhanahu wa give us tawfiq and hidayat. These are ayats of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala talks about different Anbiya alayhi salatu salam to console Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was rejected by the mushrikeen of Makkah. And Allah says, Allah speaks about Isa alayhi salatu salam to show the Christians that we also believe in Isa alayhi salatu salam, but these are our beliefs of Isa alayhi salatu salam. And likewise, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Allah Ta'ala shows those people who are worshipping idols because they claim that they were following the millat of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Allah Ta'ala shows, we also believe in Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, but these are our beliefs of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. And then Allah Ta'ala will talk about Musa alayhi salatu salam to show the Yahud that we also believe in Musa alayhi salatu salam, but these are our beliefs of Musa alayhi salatu salam. In Islam, we respect, we honor every single Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, indeed, the final messenger was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was our final Nabi, he was our Nabi of this ummah. But at the same time, we don't reject any Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We believe and look at the verses of the Quran in different surahs. Allah praises the different Anbiya alayhi salatu salam, and in fact, Islam gives them so much of respect, so much of honor and dignity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah.